11. The guard was a few blocks from Rossoniki's secure port area, grabbing a carver from a local shop that had pretty serving girls and a good roast. He was a young white guy with hair shaved short and eyes that seemed too wide for his bony little face. Kale walked up as the guard left the shop, clapped a hand on his shoulder and shoved him against the wall. "What in Bin Kodar's hell are you doing?" The guard spilled his carver and sputtered. "Who are you? Who am I?" Kale let the guard come away from the wall a bit, then shoved him into it again. "Who am I? You desert your post in broad daylight when we have a high-security prisoner waiting for transport so that you can grab Carver, and your big concern is, who am I?" The young man shoved Kale back. "What the hell is your problem, man? I'm on break." Kale blinked, then smiled sheepishly. "Oh, damn, man, I'm sorry. You're on break. I didn't know you were on break. You've still got the thing to get back in, though, right?" Sensing the tide turning, the guard produced a small crystal charm from his waist. "Of course. They said not to let the entry charm out of our..." Kale knocked the guard's carver out of his hand so that it spilled on his uniform, and as the guard flinched, Kale grabbed the charm. "Whoa, look at that! Better hope I'm not a criminal, or I just stole the entry charm away from you. But it's all right if that happens, right? Because you're on break." As the guard sputtered again, trying to wipe his uniform and grab the charm at the same time, Kale leaned in and shoved the guard against the wall for a third time. "How would that look in your report? Bad guys stole my charm. But don't worry, Archvoyant, it doesn't count. I was on break at the time. Who even authorized breaks when we're dealing with a high-security prisoner transport?" The young guard slapped at Kale's hand. "What are you talking about? It's one old lady. And who are you, anyway? I know every guard in this port, and you're not one of us." "You know every guard? Wow, that's really impressive, buddy." Kale leaned in until his nose almost touched the guard's. "You even know the special ones they brought in to oversee the prisoner transfer?" The guard swallowed, his eyes trying to find some place to be that wasn't here. "Well, no, not the ogre and the other two, but..." "Oh, so this prisoner transfer is important enough that there are special guards you don't know." Kale went on through clenched teeth, still nose to nose with the guard. "People above your clearance level, you might say. People lurking out of uniform, so that if something happens that might endanger this beautiful republic, they can come in out of nowhere and kick that danger where the sun don't shine. You want to ask me again who I am?" "No," the guard squeaked. "You sure about that?" Kale kept his eyes level with the guard. "'Cause you look like maybe you want to ask."
"I don't want to ask," the guard said. "Sir?"
"All right." Kale stepped back and gave the guard something closer to normal personal space. He pinched the bridge of his nose. "Taking breaks? 6 months we've been putting this together and someone has the uniforms taking breaks. Son of a bitch. All right, we can do this." He began to pace, twirling the crystal entry charm around his finger. "Can't change the schedule or it'd look suspicious, but damned if you're walking around an unsecured civilian area with the charm just hanging out."
"I could hide it," the guard tried.
Kale gave him a long look, waited until the guard squirmed a little, and then slowly nodded. "Okay, yeah, all right, that could work. Here's what we're going to do." He fished in a pocket and produced a small cloth pouch. "You put the charm in here, and then you put the pouch down here." He tucked it into his pants. "You leave it in a jacket. Some pickpocket lifts it, and then the wrong people get into the port. And then, soldier, we've got blood in the streets." He pulled a pouch out and tossed it to the guard, adding, "Blood in the streets! We're not having that. Not today, right?"
"Right, sir."
The guard tucked the pouch into his pants, then swallowed again. "Not today."
"Damn straight."
Kale clapped him on the shoulder. "Listen, I'm sorry about that. It's been a long 6 months. Not your fault someone told you to take a break, and I apologize for taking it out on you." He passed the man a coin. "How about you go grab another carver?" The guard took the coin.
"Yes, sir. Not a problem, sir. We're all in this together.
He started to toss Hale a salute, then caught himself and tucked his hand back down, and sheepishly headed back into the carver shop. Hale pulled the pouch with the actual charm in it from his pants and started walking toward the port.
We're good, he said quietly, pulling the charm out. I've got one.
That should be all we need,
Hessler's illusionary voice said in his ear.
Meet you at the port.
It wasn't actual magical communication which needed message crystals. Hessler was making an illusion of his voice near Kale's ear, and doing something Kale didn't understand that would take anything he said and create an illusion of those words near Hessler's ear. Apparently the spell only worked via line of sight and was crude and magically wasteful, and a lot of other things that meant Hessler didn't like it. Kale kept his pace at a steady amble, nothing a watcher would peg as out of the ordinary. He fastened the charm to his lapel as he walked, and in a few minutes the port came into view. Kale had seen Rosoniki's port once before. It had been the second time Locke had tried to sneak up to Heavenspire, and they'd gotten an old enemy arrested and tagged along with the guards. They'd reached the port in the hours before dawn, though, so he hadn't had a great chance to look at the place. The main port was lavish, with business airships and personal transports lined up in a festive grid. Young men in pilot suits directed traffic with glowing sticks. Heavenspire was a glittering purple gem in the sky overhead, and looking up and squinting, Kale could see airships en route to the floating city, or descending back down to Earth in a safe and orderly line. The ticket office was bustling with activity, and well-dressed merchants and nobles ate expensive snacks and waited for their flights in an on-site carver house or a restaurant that Kale understood had a really overpriced wine selection. The secured port, by contrast, looked like the military facility it was. It was fenced off by high walls with spikes at the top, and guards stood ready with truncheons and blades at the main gate, uniforms pristine in the bright morning light. Over the fence, Kale could see the great fat balloons of the warships and troop transports, and the smaller, leaner balloons of special-purpose ships. There were no on-site carver houses or restaurants, but somewhere in there was Kale's mother. Kale reached the corner, and as he turned onto the road toward the gate, Derry fell into step beside him. The kid had gotten a uniform, and wore it well. Gold buttons gleamed against the dark blue fabric, a short blade rode at his hip, and the insignia at his lapel showed an eagle carrying a burning torch in one talon and a crystal in the other.
"You know what division that is?" Kale asked, without looking over.
"Flame cannon technician," Derry said. "I did serve in the military for a bit, Mr. Kale."
"Oh, that's right. When you joined the Knights of Gedisar and tried to kill us."
"Yes."
Derry adjusted his collar slightly.
"I would have stolen a scout's uniform, but the sword was just for decoration, and the soles of the boots were all worn down from running away so often."
Kale laughed despite himself.
"Good to see you growing up, kid."
"Thanks, Mr. Kale. You okay with the dragon?"
"I love him," Derry said,
and Kale swallowed whatever sarcastic thing he would have said back.
"We're going to find him, and we're going to get him back."
"In the scouts," Kale said. "They taught us to keep our minds clear. When you're worried, you're not thinking straight."
"If I pretend not to miss him," Derry said, "that's a lie, and I'm not a very good liar.
Aren't you worried about your mother, Mr. Kale?"
"You know, kid, that's a fair point."
Kale nodded.
"How about if we just punch anyone who gets in our way?"
Derry nodded.
"I think I can do that."
A pair of guards watched as Kale and Derry approached the gate, Derry in his crisp uniform, and Kale in simple travelling leathers. Kale reached up to his lapel and lifted the charm up as he passed through the gate. The guards nodded, and Kale stepped inside. Derry came through after him without a pause. Kale turned to watch, his body language displaying a little agitation. Derry crossed into the secure area. No alarm sounded. Internally, Kale breathed a tiny sigh of relief that Hessler's theory about Derry's immunity to just about everything magical extended to security wards. Externally, he waited until one of the guards looked at Derry in confusion, then shouted,
"Bin Kodar's hell! The wards are compromised!"
Both guards flinched.
"What are you talking about?" one of them demanded.
Kale reached out and grabbed Derry's lapel.
You see an entry charm on him, soldier?
No. In fact, I was about to ask.
Oh, you were about to ask. Oh, all right, Kale said, pulling right over the guard.
I mean, we installed a security ward to restrict access, but as long as you were about to ask, I'm sure we're fine. My associate here was a test, and he just waltzed right in without an entry charm.
I was going to, the guard started.
I want the wards checked to see whether they're compromised or faulty, Kale said. And I want them cycled back up either way. We take them down now. How long are we out?
Just a few minutes, sir, said the other guard.
Kale glared.
All right, get it done, and pull people from the package to the gate while the wards are cycling back up. I'm checking the package myself. I want a report in 5.
Where are we on illusion wards?
They're still down per orders until the prisoner and escorts have left, said the first guard, looking a little confused at the question.
Good, Kale snapped. At least one thing is going right.
The other guard was looking at Derry.
I should still see his entry.
Airman, Kale cut in. How much time to align the flame cannons for rapid short-range fire?
It's at least an hour, sir, Derry said promptly. I looked yesterday, and I would have gotten it done, but they didn't...
Damn it, Airman, Kale growled, stepping in close to Derry.
If we get blood gargoyles swarming the airship, and those flame cannons aren't ready, I swear to Eo Fergajar, I will put, he would have gotten it done, but on your damn headstone. Am I perfectly clear?
Yes, sir, Derry said, looking at the floor.
Go!
Kale waved, glared at everyone and stalked off as Derry headed in a different direction. A few moments later, a faint snapping hiss in Kale's ears signified the security wards deactivating. He walked around a large warship, glaring at it thoughtfully, and in a short while, Hessler's voice quietly said in his ear,
I made it inside. Sorry for the delay, but the guards were standing close together and I had to shuffle to avoid bumping into any of them.
Not a problem, Kale murmured, and nodded as Derry came his way, looking official and clean and generally military.
The security ward only checked the perimeter, Hessler said. So now that I'm in, I doubt I'll be detected until the illusion wards are reactivated.
There aren't any. Kale looked at the warship and kept his voice low. Something about the special guards they have here. The ogre and... What did Turn say?
Scorpion folk and troll, Derry said quietly.
Sure. Any reason why they wouldn't want illusions turned off?
I see said that the scorpion was using an illusion to disguise itself. That could be it.
Hessler hummed thoughtfully.
The dragon studies said that those races were created by the glimmering folk, who are, as far as I can tell, originally from a world whose basic matter comprises the figmentary magic I use to create illusions. So...
Right, don't care. Kale turned.
Derry, where's my mum?
The small airship over at the end. They're getting it ready to lift off now.
Crew?
5 that I saw, Derry said. Captain, lieutenant, gunner, and 2 in the rigging, plus the 3 special guards.
Right.
Kale rolled out his shoulders.
Too many to fight straight up. I'll pull guards and circle. Derry hits the ogre. Hessler creates duplicates. I get my mother out of there.
That sounds significantly underthought as plans go, Hessler said.
How are you going to pour the guards? Derry asked.
Guys, Kale smiled. It'll be fine. Go.
They went. It was possible that something in his smile made them more worried instead of less so, but neither of them said anything.
Kale walked up the gangplank of the great warship. A single guard was standing at the top, eyeing him warily as he approached.
Problem? The guard asked.
He was an Urujar man, a little younger than Kale.
Sorry to bother you, Kale said. You hear about the special prisoner down there, in the little runner at the end?
Heard I shouldn't ask questions about it, the guard said dryly.
Speaking of questions, Kale said as he reached the top of the gangplank. If some asshole tried to get you by going after your mother... What would you do?
As the guard opened his mouth, Kale hit him. The guard stumbled but didn't fall, and Kale hit him again, and this time the man went down.
Like I said, sorry to bother you.
Kale walked to the control console and keyed in commands.
Hey, flame cannon overrides, there we go.
Yes, I'm sure, yes, I absolutely have clearance. Code still works, yay, and we're good.
Whistling, he walked over to the gangplank, lifted it with a grunt of effort, and shoved the edge over the side. It scraped along the hull of the warship as it fell, and Kale heard confused cries from soldiers and guards on the ground.